Title of tonight's message is In Light of Sonship. In Light of Sonship. There should be a really cool graphic back there that was created by Jordan. So if it's cool, it's all Jordan's fault. If it's not cool, that's also Jordan's fault. In Light of Sonship. The first thing I want to do is I want to define what sonship is. Webster's Dictionary did a really good job, and so I'm going to use their definition. Sonship is the relationship of the son to the father. The relationship, sonship, refers to the relationship of the son to the father. Now, I want you to understand this, that sonship is a term that is gender neutral. I know it doesn't sound like it, but sonship is a term that is gender neutral. For you stay in Romans. Genesis 1:27 said, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So understand that man is the species of human beings. It's called man. The Bible calls it man. But there is a female man and a male man. Sonship refers to the relationship of the son to the father. But you can have the characteristics of sonship and be a daughter. So, females, you don't get to check out. You don't get to be like, this message for the boys. I'm just not even going to listen to this because this is, I'm going to go ahead on and get my text on because this ain't got nothing to do with me. Romans chapter 8, start at verse 12, says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, we die. I'm going to hold on, stop right there for a second. 2014 is a year of victory over death. Amen? We have victory over death. But I want you to see what the Word of God says right here. If we live according to the flesh, you will die. Straight forward statement. You will die. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. I do not believe that it takes a lack. I don't believe that that's a lack of faith. I got faith in all of what this book says. So the book says if you live according to the flesh, you will die. I have faith in that statement. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Life and death are your choice. You choose whether you live or die. Living by the flesh guarantees that there will be a characteristic of death in your life. So if you let the flesh run your emotions, you will experience emotional death. If you let the flesh run your finances, you will experience financial death. If you let the flesh run your relationships, you will experience relationship death. If the flesh runs your life, you will experience death. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you live. Y'all got that part?
Sir.
Y'all need further explanation?
Yes, sir.
You sure?
Yes, sir.
Because I need you to get that part before we get to the other part. You good there?
Yes, sir.
Praise God. For as many are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Now, if you have your Bible and you're taking notes, I give you permission right now to write in the Word of God and underline sons of God. For as many are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but You receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. And if heirs, then joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Now, we've been camping out in this scripture for just about all year. I want you to understand that this is one of Pastor John's favorite passages of scripture. If I had to turn a scripture into a fuzzy bunny to sleep with at night, it would be this one. Now, all of y'all got a mental picture of Pastor John curled up with his Bible just like this. My Bible got bunny ears. So catch this. For as many are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Or in the Greek, you could reverse it and say, if you are led by the Spirit, then you are a son. And sons are led by the Spirit. So if before I started preaching tonight, I were to ask how many people in here are sons of God, every last one of you would have raised your hand. But if I asked the question, how many of you are led by the Spirit, very few of you would actually raise your hand. Why? Because there's not been a revelation that says that if you identify as a son, then you have to identify with being led by the Spirit. It is a qualifying characteristic of sonship. Sonship refers to the relationship with the Father. So the state of sonship means that you have a relationship with the Father. And this passage of scripture tells you that by default, then you become a person who is not characterized by living by the flesh, but you're characterized by living according to the Spirit of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Amen. It's awful quiet. So I might as well go ahead and make it a little bit quieter. The Bible says this, these are the sons of God. The word these is a word that denotes a division, a separating. Be ye holy as I am holy. Being holy means to be separated, being called out with a purpose. So the Bible says that these, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, which by default means these are the sons of God, not those. So there's a these and there's a those. There's a distinction between those who are led by the Spirit and those who are not led by the Spirit. Then it says this, that those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Well, who's the Spirit of God? Those who are led. The Greek word led indicates guiding, keeping, a driving, and a directing to bring into something. So the defining characteristics of a son is that he or she is separated and distinct from those who have chosen not to take on the character of sonship. Also, that he or she is being directed, guided, driven by, kept by, and brought in by the Spirit of the Father. Sonship refers to the relationship that you have with the Father, and it says that the Father is then directing the things that happen in your life. Not some things, not a few things, everything. Those are the sons. There's some people who have allowed Jesus, who have allowed the Holy Spirit to only direct just a few things in their life, and everything else they hang on to. Let me tell you something that's real hard to swallow. Those are not sons. You choose sonship. When you get saved, you are offered sonship. You are welcomed into the family. You are grafted in branches. You are loved. You are accepted. I don't care what you smell like, what you look like, or how far you had to go to get here. You are welcomed in, dirty or clean, broken or whole. You are welcomed in. And the Holy Spirit begins to do a work inside of you that leads you to restoration. But understand this, at any moment, you can choose. Not anybody else can choose, not any devil, because the Bible says that no one can pluck you out of his hand. But you can choose to not be a son, to not be a daughter. You can choose life or death by default. Not choosing is choosing. The world would have you believe, you don't have to make up your mind about all that. No, not choosing is choosing. You've chosen a side by default. So here's the deal. Why am I so up on this sonship thing? Let's look at the relationship that Jesus had with the Father. In John chapter 5, verse 19, he says, then Jesus answered, this is over a healing that took place on the Sabbath. Then Jesus answered them saying, and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. So Jesus himself, love incarnate, the power of God manifest here on earth, the one who healed the sick, raised the dead, gave life back to people who were lifeless, that man, the one who bought your redemption, the one that you are so quick to run around and say, I believe in, I believe, 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 I believe. That one that you say you believe in says this about sonship: I cannot do anything that I don't see my Father do. So what Jesus was saying is this: absent sonship, there is no power. That's why the Bible calls him the only begotten of the Father. The Word of God goes a long way of making sure you understand that there is an essential oneness with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. That's why we call him a triune God. He has three parts. And of those three parts, Jesus identifies a relationship that he has with the Father that gives him the power to do what he does. And he says that that relationship is called sonship. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. It's a big statement for Jesus to say the words, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Jesus, you're God. You are the man. You are that dude. You should be able to do it. And Jesus says, you know what? I can't do anything outside of my Father. And I don't do anything unless I saw him do it. So what does that mean for you? What does sonship look like for you? Well, here, a couple of things. Number one, when you take on sonship, your heart will be turned in an obedient nature to the Father. It's a qualifying portion of sonship. John 5:19, Jesus says, the Son can do nothing apart from the Father. Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, and then Luke chapter 1, verse 17 says that the spirit of Elijah comes to turn the hearts of the father to the children or the sons and the hearts of the sons or the children to the father, which means that there is an establishing of a relationship that was a precursor to the ministry of Jesus that went to prepare the way. And the preparing of the way included making way for there to be an essential relationship between the children and the Father, creating an atmosphere for sonship. And that sonship depends on your ability to say of the Father, or to say, this is going to really make your head spin, or to say of your fathers, that my heart is turned toward you in an obedient manner. I know you know what I'm about to get ready to tell you, so I may as well go ahead and spill the beans. An essential portion of sonship has to do with your obedience, not just to your heavenly Father, but to your earthly fathers, those who are in authority over you. You cannot, listen to me, look at me, young person. You cannot call yourself a son if you are not obedient. Period. If Jesus is the model and you call yourself a Christian, which means that you call yourself a follower of Christ, you are Christ-like, which is what Christian means, Christian, then you have to take on a nature that says that I don't do anything unless I get the authority from my Father. Put it in 2014 terms, I don't do anything unless I draw the authority from those who are over me. And this is where it gets real quiet. Real quiet. So I figured I might have to prove that to you with scripture. They're like, Pastor John, I lost his mind. Number two, a son is submitted to the father and his earthly authority figures in such a way that he no longer simply depends on the state of being taught. He's no longer a student. He becomes a disciple. You're no longer just taught right from wrong. You are being discipled in the Lord. 1 Peter 5:5 in the Amplified. Likewise, you who are younger and of lesser rank. You who are younger and of lesser rank, be subject to the elders, the ministers and spiritual guides of the church. We ain't even talking about your mom and daddy yet. We're starting with be subject to the ministers and spiritual guides at church. Giving them due respect and yielding to their counsel. That means that you don't know what you're doing, so maybe you need to slow down and listen to some people who have some things in their life that you don't have so that they can speak into you, and then you need to give that thing precedent over what you think you know. Yielding to their counsel. Clothe or apron yourself, all of you, with humility as a garb of a servant, so that its covering cannot possibly be stripped from you, with freedom from pride and arrogance toward one another. For God sets himself against the proud, the insolent, the overbearing, the disdainful, the presumptuous, and the boastful, and he opposes, frustrates, and defeats them, but gives grace and favor and blessing to the humble. The result of sonship is discipleship. The direct result of sonship is discipleship. Now, what does discipleship look like? Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know if y'all need me to read it. I kind of presupposed some things were true, that you already understood some stuff. But y'all need me to go to the scripture in Ephesians where it says, children, obey your parents?
Yes, please. I'm ready.
For real?
Yeah.
All right, come on. I was like, seriously? You want that? All right, cool. That's cool. Let's do it. Ephesians 6. How do I know this scripture? I happen to have children. Verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. If I'm going to go here, let me teach here for just a little bit. Check out verse 1 in the Amplified. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is what in the Lord means. As his representatives. The word of God coming through your parents is the very divine word of God. They are speaking on authority of heaven. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Disobeying your parents is like disobeying God. What? Thumbing your nose at your parents is like thumbing your nose at God. Yelling at your parents is like yelling at God. Cursing your parents is like cursing God. Why? They are his representatives. I could get real crazy with it and teach you that the Bible says, touch not my anointing and do my prophet no harm. And to prophesy means to speak the word of God. So when your parents are speaking into your life, the most important, the most awesome, and the most prudent, and the most powerful prophet in your life is your mama and your daddy. If they're God-fearing, if they're full of the Holy Ghost, the words that come out of their mouth is discerning you because you are flesh of their flesh and bone of their bone. Some folks done really checked out, went to the phones. I ain't listening to this no more. But there's a reason why. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say to you, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer, say no longer. Oh, y'all look like, y'all sound like y'all been whooped. You see, Ephesians 4, verse 17, say no longer.
No longer.
Okay, sounds a little bit better, you white people. You ever had a whooping and it knocked a pause in you? Ah! That's the pause. Your mama really got hold of you if she knocked the pause in you. And then she after the pause, she put the... You really got a whooping then. That's how you really know it was good. Some of y'all laughed. Hey, like, my mama felt bad about that. Your mama went downstairs and high-fived your dad. We got it. Check this out. Wait till you have children. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. In the futility of their mind, understand this, young person, that most of the people that I hear that come to me for counsel have issues in these places. This is the root of their issues. In futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness in their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness. They've had their feelings, but they've gone past feelings, and now they've given themselves over to lewdness. To work all uncleanliness with greediness. Here's the part that I love. But you have not so learned Christ. Every super kid ought to have their ear just peeled to this. Every person who's been raised in a Christian home, you ought to listen to this. Every person, even if you were not raised in a Christian home, if you call this ministry home, you ought to hear this, because this is the level of sonship that is being demanded from this pulpit from now on. The reason I wanted everybody to hear this is this. 1440 in 2015, starting right now, is declaring war against the work of the devil. Cutting will not live here. Suicide, not here. Self-harm, not here. It won't live here. We won't placate it. We won't play with it. We won't baby it. We won't rub it on its head and say it's going to be okay. We ain't going to do any of that anymore. We are changing gears and declaring war against the works of the flesh. If you live according to the flesh, you die. And I'm not willing to lose any of you. So if we're going to take authority over this house, we're going to put the house in order, and we're going to declare war of everything that would come against the house. But before we put the house, before we declare war against what's out there, we got to get in here straight. And what needs to happen in here is there needs to be some discipleship. That's okay. I don't need many amens. All the adults can amen me. Praise God. But I'm just telling you what level, if we got to look, if we got to do it with four people, if 1440 has four people, we going to disciple four folks. I believe that it is the will of God for you not to perish, but for you to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Check this out. But you have not so learned Christ. You didn't come to Christ that way. You don't have a ministry that plays church. You don't have a ministry that's not preaching the word. You don't have a ministry absent a prophetic voice. You don't have a ministry that does not have your best interest in mind. You didn't come to know God in a way where you should be constantly in darkness. You came to know God as a God of power whose light shines in darkness and darkness runs away. So it's time to stop running away into darkness and start to bring some light to some situations so that darkness can flee. So listen, you say whatever you want to say about Pastor John. You can call me legalistic. You can call me hard on folks. And you can say that I'm just tough and he's in there yelling at them. No, I'm yelling at every devil that would have dared to come in with you that thought he was going downtrodden the people of this ministry. We are standing on the wall and I dare the devil to try to touch one of mine. I dare him. What happens in discipleship? If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, the Amplified says that you strip yourself. I love it. That you put off concerning the former conduct. We're talking about doing stuff now. We're talking about what you do. See, for most of you, the spiritual part has already been settled. It's the habitual part that you have a problem with. And you change the habit through discipleship. That's why I wanted all the adult volunteers to come. You want to find somebody to disciple, you look to your left and your right and the front and the back of the room. They're all over the place. Concerning your former conduct, the old man, that you put off the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. What does it sound like? Righteousness and holiness. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these, maybe not them, but these are the Son of God. There are sons of God and daughters of God who cut themselves on a regular basis. There are sons of God and daughters of God who are flirting with suicidal thoughts and who live in a place of darkness, who do things behind closed doors, who are dealing with poor self-image. And I want you to understand that from this pulpit and from all of the people associated with this ministry, that we will pastor you, that we will pray for you, that we are going to be there for you. We're not going to kick you to the curb. Please don't hear this message wrong. This is not a message that says that Pastor John doesn't love you and we won't be gentle. Love is patient. Love is kind. We are going to be patient. We are going to be kind to you. To you. To you. To you. To the flesh and the spirit that's inside of you. To you. To you. But to that devil. We are not going to coexist with a snake. Because a snake is a snake. And if you let him stay with you, he'll bite you. And if you turn around, he'll bite you again. And he'll inject the same poison over and over and over and over. And the reason why people have dealt with the same issue over and over and over is that the same serpent that got on you the first time, you didn't crush his head. All you did was shook him off a little bit. And he came back and he bit you again. But the prophecy says that he may bruise your heel, but you will crush his head. Greater is he that is inside you. So we're going to love you, but we're going to call for the greater. If we're going to believe the word, let's believe it all. Let's believe that the greater is inside of you and that you don't have to stay in a place of darkness. The first thing I can tell you from now on, if you come to me and you say, I've had these issues, the very first thing I'm going to ask you is this. Do you want freedom? Because that's my business. That's my business. I'm in kingdom business. Kingdom business. We all about freedom. We're about freedom. So do you want to get free? Do you want to get free? Well, we're not playing with the devil anymore. We're not. Come on, baby. Yeah. We're not playing with that devil. We're not going to play with that devil. So here's the deal right now. I feel this in my spirit right now. Come here, David. Two or more touch anything, agreeing. I know there's a whole bunch of us, but there are two up here. If you've dealt with the issue of cutting, I want you to stand up. Listen, here's the deal. It may be embarrassing. But embarrassment is not of God. Embarrassment is of the enemy that would attempt to let you keep things in darkness. Because if you can keep it in darkness, then it can exist and nobody knows about it. So, if you're ready for freedom and you've dealt with a spirit of cutting, doesn't mean you're terrible. Doesn't mean you're a horrible person. Doesn't mean you don't have faith. It just means that you are ready to be honest with yourself and God. And I know that there are going to be some folks that, I just don't agree with the way you did it. Okay, that's cool. You can disagree with me. But we're going to be about freedom, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be about freedom. I'm sick. I was praying and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He says, enough is enough. I'm done. And when God says enough is enough, then enough is enough. I'm done dealing. We're up here. We're done with it. If you've dealt with cutting, if you've dealt with suicidal thoughts, if you've dealt with self-harm issues, if you felt tempted to harm yourself, if you felt tempted to be in a place of darkness over suicidal thoughts, I want you to stand to your feet. I'm going to wait for a minute. It's okay. It's all right. You know what? Everybody who's standing up has in common? They're sons and daughters of this house. And we love them all. I got you up here for agreement. Spirit of agreement. We stand right now. I declare concerning you that the days of your negotiating with a devil is over. The days of your thought concerning your own life is over. The days of you doubting whether or not you have worth is over. I declare with the voice of God concerning you that God says that you are the head and not the tail, and that you are blessed beyond the curse. that you have been blessed for such a time as this. Right now is the time for the manifestation of the sons of God. And you could have been born in 1800s. You could have been born in the 1900s. But I say that you were born when you were born because God knew that there was an appointment for you and there was an assignment on your life, and you will live and not die, and you will declare the works of the Most High God. I say that there is power inside of you. There's an anointing on the 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 inside of you, young man. There's an anointing on you. There's an anointing on you. There's an anointing on the inside of you. There is an anointing on the inside of you. There's an anointing on the inside of you. There's an anointing on the inside of you. And I say concerning you that you are powerful for such a time as this. I say that you will walk into situations and you will see them change by the hand of God. I say that no longer will the enemy get the dominant voice. He will no longer have the loudest voice, but that the Holy Spirit that's inside of you will from now on have the last say. What the word says about you is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. I say concerning you that the people who have spoken into your life, the ones that hurt you and that did you wrong, that the ones that have provoked you before, I say that the words that they spoken into you have no power because the word of God trumps their word. I say that you release them in love. I say that you walk in a place of love. I say that you walk in a place of forgiveness. But I also say this, it's not about them anymore. You've let them have you for far too long. They've held on to you for far too long. Those words have held you hostage for far too long because you were not called into bondage again to fear, but you were called as a holy priesthood, a royal generation, a holy nation. You are those. You are of those who are the sons of God. I stand before you right now. And I repent. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I repent. On behalf of a church that has allowed darkness to exist over the area of cutting, over the area of self-harm, and over the area of violence against yourself and suicide, I, as a representative and a called minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, stand before you right now, and I repent. I repent that there's not been enough teaching. I repent that there's not been enough discipleship. I repent for not understanding. But I say from this moment forward that this ministry declares war against the forces of darkness. I say that we declare war on your behalf. You are not dispensable. You are valuable to the kingdom. You are valuable to the preaching of the gospel. You are valuable. You are valuable to the working of the ministry. There is a place for you and a calling for you that can only be filled by you. So I say as your pastor that I am going to war on your behalf. And there are those who are with me who will not settle until the last devil is dead. I commit to you that we will pray on your behalf and that the powers of our prayers will rock you. I commit to you that we will preach and teach from this pulpit the truth of God in every light, on every subject. Nothing is taboo. Nothing will be kept in the dark. And I commit to you that there will be systems in place to disciple you. If you want life and life more abundantly, we have people who will hook up with you, who will care about your day-to-day activities, your life, everything that concerns you. We right now make a commitment, a covenant with you that we will raise sons and daughters. Now, if you agree with that, stand on your feet. Every time you think, young person, that you're standing alone, I want you to look around and remember this. Let it burn into your brain that those who are for you are greater than those who are against you. You are never alone. You are never alone. You are never alone. We are at war. Today, we are at war. And we will continually be at war until the last person who deals with this devil is free. And I can tell you this, the war is short. The war is short. We have the nuclear option. And today I'm not telling you that there's a maybe, we might use it, that we're not going to threaten hell with it. We are deploying it today. The war is short. We have victory. So, Father, right now, we come before you, God, and we say that the fight of faith is on. God, I say that not one of us tires and not one of us draws back. And God, I say that not one of us wages war from a place of the flesh. It's not about our work. It's not about what we can do. In the flesh, it's not about our works, but there is a force of faith right now going from this place forward, and it's devouring every enemy of God. Every stronghold is being cast down. Every young person under the sound of my voice is bringing into captivity their thoughts. They are surrendered to you now. No principality, no power, no wickedness, no system of darkness will get the last voice. But we stand as a ministry and we declare right now, God, that your word gets first place and its final authority. And if your word says we live, we live. If your word says victory, then it's victory. If your word says blessing, it's blessing. If your word says children of God, then we are children of the Most High God. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen.